Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
You are now listening to the NYYST podcast.
Welcome back. This is episode 188 of the NYYST podcast. I am your host, Christian. As always, joined by my co-host, Chris.
Yo.
And it's Stat Guy Rye.
What up?
Stat Guy Rye joining us on time this week.
I made it.
You made it, buddy.
I'm here.
Chris and his mouthful of meat diet is really working for him. So get, right? Big props. And there's the dog. Creed's back this week.
Nice. I thought this dog thing was just a 1 week fucking cameo.
No, new series regular.
Creed. It's like when Tommy Chong joined that 70s show in the fourth season. Oh, yeah. You got his name on the credits.
Named him after the band, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what I did.
Hey, you know we're late. I love the band.
Hey, man.
I'm not in the mood for your jokes today.
Very nasty. There's just a morbid energy around you right now.
Today was not a good day in Yankee universe. It really wasn't. I'm just tired. The trop is just, it's a house of horrors for the Yankees. They got shut out Saturday, or was it Friday night?
Friday.
It was Friday night. They lost 1-0. And three out of the last four times they got shut out, it happened at the Trop. So it's not a place that they play well.
It was 1-0?
Yeah.
Oh, that was the seventh inning run by the Rays. They scored it late. Yeah.
The Yankees dropped three out of four. It's not a good place for the Yankees right now. And thank God we only have to see the Trop once this year, and hopefully only once. Hopefully the Rays don't make the postseason, and if they do, the Yankees don't have to deal with them. Because honestly, I'm not scared of the Rays as a team. I'm scared of having to play at the Trop. It just is not a place where the Yankees play well. And I really think the Yankees are a lot better team than the Tampa Bay Rays are. It's just that for whatever reason, they don't get it done down there.
Yeah, no. It's not even a question to me who's a better team, but I mean, for the last few years now, they haven't played well there, and I don't blame any team not playing well there.
I believe they're 2-7.
But you know what? At the end of the day, like you've said how many times this is a glorified spring training, I was actually happy with this weekend because we got good pitching. My biggest concern over the last, since the beginning of the season, has been the pitching staff, where I thought that wasn't going to be a concern for me at all. And I even ripped Patrick for it, and I owe him a little bit of an apology, but we saw much better pitching.
Yeah, but for it to truly be glorified spring training, they just need to get out and hide, and they have in that this weekend cost them that opportunity of getting out and hiding. They would have been four up on the Rays had they won. Now they're only two. So they're, I'm not really worried that they're not going to win a division, but to really cement this as glorified spring training, you just need to build a lead and not look back, and they might be in a little bit of a dogfight here now.
Well, they got a homestand coming up, and they're 4-0 at home to start the year. So
we'll touch on this a little bit later on when we do the look ahead. But the Yankees' next 12 games are all in New York.
Yeah, because there's some in city. So
they're coming. They're going to be in their beds for a while here for the next couple of weeks. So hopefully, they'll start playing better. But they've been scuffling a little bit this week because they split the series with the Phillies. But we'll also touch on that a little bit later on. We can do a little bit of a different format to the show. And, you know, after the show's over, you know, leave us a 5-star rating review and let us know if you like the new format of the show. We were tossing this around since the season has started. And we don't really think, and you can, and again, and tell us, give us feedback, let us know. We don't really, because we record Sunday night once a week right now. Let us know. Like, we don't really think that the fans want us to break down every single game.
No.
Like a Monday night game on Sunday night, a week later, that you really don't want us to break it down. So what we're going to do is we're going to come out here, we're going to hit you with the top stories of the week. And then after we do that, we're going to go and we'll go through the schedule. You know, if there was a... there was something that we need to pick apart from a certain game, then we'll do that. But we're not going to go through every single game and be like, on Monday, the Yankees won 6-3. This guy did this. What right. did you think about that? You know, if there was a big play or something that we need to discuss from that game, then we'll do it.
Highlights, lowlights of the week.
So let us know if you listen to the show. Let us know if you like the format or you think we really need to get more in-depth into these games. I'm not going to pay attention to your suggestions because I'm going to do things how I want to. But, you know, let us know.
Right. I agree. We probably won't listen.
So we're going to start off here. You know, the big thing right now is Gary Sanchez's struggles. Gary Sanchez, and Ryan, can you look this up? Because if I look at Baseball Reference, it's not going to give me his updated totals. But he's hitting about .100 right now. He's got one home run and maybe, two or three runs batted in. He's struggling. He's really, really struggling at the plate. And, you know, fans are calling for his head. And, I really want to get that worked up right now because, you know, fans, I mean, I said this yesterday on Twitter, you know, Gary Sanchez could be having a legit MVP caliber season and he makes one mistake and people are going to be calling for his head.
Yeah.
There's no, it just seems like there's nothing this guy could possibly do to get the fans off his ass. And I don't know what it is. You know, and I said this also, like, there's this narrative around him that he's, quote, fat and lazy, but you hear Garrett Cole loves throwing to him. You hear how well he or how hard he's worked with the new catching instructor on framing low pitches and being in better positions and all this other shit. And I'm going to read you a direct quote from James Paxton today.
Ryan's got his average before you get to that.
He's hitting .103 on base, is .222. He's got 4 hits and 39 at-bats on the season so far. 1 ding, 3 ribs.
It's awful. He's atrocious. He's been atrocious. There's no way to defend his offensive play.
No.
And this is what James Paxton had to say today. And James Paxton was really – he was great for 6 innings.
Yeah.
And he lost a little bit in the 7th. But we'll
11
get,
strikeouts, we'll get, too, I think.
Yeah. We'll get to that later in the show. This is James Paxton in reference to Gary Sanchez. He was really good. He was calling the game back there, mixing in my stuff really well. I thought he was calling great pitches. I didn't shake him off all day. He was great, and his framing has gotten so much better. He's really catching the ball well in corners and blocking the ball. He's really improved back there. It's really great to see. He's a great guy to throw to. That was James Paxton today.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not going to go back on my word. And my feelings on hating a player at the time is that if it warrants boos, if it warrants getting on his ass, you go for it. Gary Sanchez certainly warrants that. His play warrants that right now. But it's not that. That's not what bothers me. It's that the second this guy starts to struggle, everyone wants him gone like he's some piece of shit. Like there's other catchers available that are better. And that's what bothers me. It's just so irrational.
Yeah, and it bothers you too because maybe on Twitter they should kind of look at how his own teammates talk about him and they go out of their way to support him and they want to back him up and be there to be that, you know, a support and to help him out mentally maybe if any way they can. Maybe the fans should start doing that as well because what positive is there to gain when you prematurely criticize a player the way you are with Sanchez? I get it, but I mean, he's young and controllable and he's not making that much money, so... And he's better than most catchers in the league, so we're pretty lucky to have him.
here's the argument now you get back. When you say Gary at worst is a top three catcher, people will say, well, the position is not that deep, so you're not really complimenting Gary by saying that. So in my response to that is, so if the position is not that deep and Gary is one of the three best catchers,
who's better?
Now you want somebody worse than him right. playing that position.
Right. I actually put together a little trivia for you guys if you'll amuse me for
sure.
Okay.
For a couple minutes.
Just okay. keep in mind, Gary Sanchez, he's on a 1-year, $5 million contract. He's only making $5 million. That's nothing compared to a top, what JT Realmuto is going to get next offseason. I'm just throwing that out there.
I agree. Here's
some triv.
Okay, ready? In 2016, this player only had 53 games played, yet he ranked top 5 in home runs for AL catchers and top 10 in RBIs for American League catchers. Who was this player?
Jake Taylor of the Cleveland Indians.
Wrong.
Austin Romine?
Gary Sanchez. In 2017, this player had his first full season in the major leagues. He led in American League catchers in home runs, hits, and RBIs. Who am I speaking of?
Got to be Francisco Cervelli. Has to be.
Yeah, I agree. Cervelli.
Gary Sanchez. In 2018... this player was injured and only played 89 games, yet he ranked top 3 in home runs for AL catchers, top 10 in hits for AL catchers, and second in RBIs for catchers. Which player am I speaking of?
That's Salvador Perez, right? The Royals, he got hurt that
year. Oh, close.
No, I thought it was Sal Fasano, man.
Even closer, Gary Sanchez. Okay. In 2019, this is the last one. In 2019, this player led American League catchers in home runs, top 5 in hits, and led American League catchers in RBIs. Who am I speaking of?
Oh, that's Higgy Bombs for sure.
Yeah,
ooh, Gary Sanchez. So shut the fuck up that this guy sucks. Because he doesn't. Look at what this guy does. Give the guy some slack. I get it. He's frustrating. We're all frustrated with Gary Sanchez right now.
You sure that wasn't Matt Wieters?
Actually, I'll go back and check just to be sure. Honestly, guys, let's just take a second. We're all frustrated. Are you guys frustrated with Gary Sanchez right now?
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. Are you defending his play right now?
Offensively, mm-mm. You cannot.
Correct. But do his statistics throughout the years he's been here suggest that this guy is worthless and shouldn't be on this team?
That is incorrect.
No. Right.
Yeah, especially when you take into consideration the amount of money that he's being paid. It's a bargain.
It reminds me of this poll that I just saw. Americans were polled on the coronavirus. Uh-huh. And
way to work that one in there. Always got to get the COVID poll.
No, you got to be topical. So Americans were polled across the nation.
Tout yourself.
And they were asked two questions. What percentage of the country has COVID? And what percentage of the country has died from COVID? The average response was 21% has it, and 9% has died from it. Do you guys want to take?
I don't care.
No.
I know you're
part of the point.
Nephew,
so no, shut just... the fuck up. It's seriously part of the point I'm trying to make with Gary Sanchez. Do you know what percentage of the country has coronavirus?
I'm way lower than the average.
Would you just fucking give me a number?
I don't know. What I'd say 10% of the country had it and less than 1% died of it.
Okay, right?
Yeah, I'd say 2% and 0.1.
Okay, it's 1% has had it.
That's close.
Or has it, and 0.04% has died from it. So the same thing applies with Gary Sanchez, that we all have this feeling that Gary Sanchez is worthless because all we think about are the bad things about him constantly. So if I gave those numbers to most Yankee fans right now, they wouldn't believe me that those were where he sat as far as catchers in the American League. And
all right, so
his value is way higher than this fan base gives him credit for.
So if Gary Sanchez is at worst what he was last year, he's a catcher that hits .230 and hits 34 home runs and drove in what, about 90 runs last year?
Last year, 77, I believe.
Okay, so he drove in
77.
All right, so at worst, Gary Sanchez is a pull happy, all or nothing, .230 hitter that still hits 34 home runs and drives in about 80 runs. At worst.
Which leads the league anyway.
And also think about where he's been hitting in the lineup this year. He's the 7 hitter doing that, or 8. Not the 3 or the 4.
So if at worst, that's what Gary Sanchez has become, he's no longer going to be a phenom 300 gap-to-gap killer like he was in 2016 in 2017. And this is what he is now. He can't shake the fact that he needs to pull everything. And he's still going to give you 30 and 70 every year at worst. Why are you turning that away? What other catcher is giving that to you right now? Why? You cannot get over his pass balls. And you got people incorrectly calling that wild pitch last night, Saturday night, a pass ball. It was a wild pitch. I even had to tweet out the friggin' definition of what a wild pitch is.
Dude, let me tell you something. A pitcher can go up there and throw 100 miles per hour directly at the backstop, and Gary gets blamed for a wild pitch with this a pass ball.
Even today, David Cone took a shot. He said, well,
he did take a shot.
It was in the dirt. It bounced, but, you know, Gary should probably get
that. That was the other day. That wasn't today, I don't think.
No, that was today when Britton was pitching. That was in the ninth inning today.
Oh, he did it the other day then, too.
Could Gary Sanchez been in a better spot to potentially block that ball? Yeah, okay, I give you that one. Is it Gary's fault that he didn't block a ball that bounced in front of the friggin' plate? No, it's not his fault. It's Britton's
fault.
Yeah, Britton was all over the place today. And then there was that wild pitch. Who, I can't remember for the life of me, who threw it.
But Ottavino.
It was Ottavino, right. He missed by the entire length of the plate.
It was a slider.
The entire length of the plate. There needs to be a reasonable expectation from your pitcher that he's not going to miss by that much. Well, it's Ottavino when he throws slider, so you should know better. No. If you're setting up, I forget, was he setting up outside and the ball went inside?
He was setting up inside. It went outside.
Okay.
And Cone took a shot at him on that pitch, too.
I mean, come on now. By the entire length of the plate, and you're going to blame Gary Sanchez for not catching that? Come on. That's just not being fair. That's just trying to fit your narrative that you hate this guy, and he's, quote, fat and lazy, and he needs to be benched. And you know what? And I sent you guys that tweet that I sent where I said, if I'm Brian Cashman, I trade Gary Sanchez right now. Don't care what I get for him. Just get him out of here. Give the fans what they want. Kyle Higashioka as the catcher. And it scared me. It legitimately scared me that tweet.
20,000 likes.
that tweet that people could not pick up the sarcasm in it, because it just shows me how insane this fan base is, that there's people out there that actually think that this is a real opinion because people have said it.
So Cone took a shot at Gary on that Ottavino pitch also. I didn't hear the one today. I was listening.
I didn't hear him say anything on the Ottavino
pitch. So on the Ottavino pitch, Cone took a shot because he claims that Gary needs to know his pitcher and he has to know that Ottavino has that kind of slider. But here's my thing. The pitcher.
That's probably why I heard that same exact thing 20 right. 20 times, because they were parroting
exactly.
Cone.
That's all anyone does. So in my eyes, as a pitcher who I see where Coney comes from, he gets defensive for pitchers and that's fine. But as a pitcher, I always knew my catcher, where you have to look at Gary Sanchez and what he's become. What's his number one strength as a catcher right now outside of his arm?
He doesn't have any strengths.
His framing, right? Every pitcher talks about it.
Gary Sanchez,
Michaels now? Oh, fuck you. Gary Sanchez is a guy who's working on his frame. That's his biggest strength behind the plate other than his arm. And the way he's setting up is different over the last couple years. He's not in the best position right now to take a slider in the dirt in the other batter's box.
That's what they were working on with him.
Exactly. This is what he's focused on. As a pitcher, you need to know that. You can't be set up inside and throw a slider in the other batter's box and expect Gary to get to it right now.
And let's also not forget how filthy some of these bullpen arms are, too, that he's had to catch over the years. I mean,
yeah,
Adam Ottavino, Tommy Canley, Aroldis Chapman.
That's Zach no excuse, Britton. But no, it's not an excuse. It's the truth.
But it's something to take into consideration on a young catcher who's still developing at that position.
You know, and then I get tagged in tweets, oh, defend Gary or make excuses for Gary Sanchez. What did I make an excuse for Gary Sanchez? I must have tweeted a dozen times in the last week how awful he's been at the plate.
He sucks right now.
I'm not making excuses for him. My point is, what do you want to do?
Right.
This guy has the capability to carry a team when he gets hot. Is he hot right now? No. I'm not going to say he's been anything but awful with the bat this year. But what are your other options? I mean, before Kyle Higashioka won in the IL, that's your option?
You want
Kyle Higashioka to be a starting catcher for the Yankees?
I want to make one more point on this. as far as people just wanting a better defensive catcher or whatever the hell they want. They want Gary out of here. Let me ask you this question. And here's where Gary poses more value than any stat will ever show. As a pitcher, you're going through this lineup that has absolutely no holes in it when they're, you know, when they're playing up to their potential. If you have the bases loaded, two outs, game on the line, who's scarier to you? A slumping Gary Sanchez or Kyle Higashioka?
Dude, you could put Kyle Higashioka in Yogi Berra's body with
in his prime.
Johnny Bench and with Johnny Bench and Jorge Posada swinging the bat in. For him.
Yeah.
And I still wouldn't want Kyle Higashioka up in that spot.
Right. And so let's put aside again, not defending Gary's performance right now. It's abysmal. It is disgusting. He needs to be better. But you look at a guy's ceiling, which we know is very high for Gary Sanchez, and you look at his worst, and at worst, he poses a threat to a pitcher no matter what, because they know what he's capable of. And at the end of the day,
he's not capable of anything.
And at the end of the day, you're just irrational if you don't see that.
Because, I mean, another trivia, which catcher on the Yankees, who has the most home runs for a catcher in a season? For the New York Yankees.
It's in their history?
Yeah, Sanchez. In their entire history.
Gary Sanchez.
Oh, no. It was Mike Pagliarulo.
No, it was Gary Sanchez in 2019.
I don't
just one season ago. And guess whose record he beat? Guess who was the previous holder of that record? It was Gary Sanchez.
Oh, yeah,
2 years prior with 33. And
right.
He did that also in last year in 99 games.
And the craziest thing with Gary...
A year ago.
Is that I think he's the quickest to 100 home runs.
Yeah, I believe
that. Out of any Major League Baseball player. I could be wrong on that, but I'm almost positive.
I think
someone
might have overtaken him, but when he did it, he was, I think.
And the thing with Gary is, like, we've seen how quickly he can turn it on. And when he does, even if it's only over a short amount of games, he fucking really turns it on. And he can carry an entire offense.
Yeah, he's the fastest to 100 home runs in American League history.
There you go.
And that's my point about Gary Sanchez. He has the capability of carrying this team. So you just if Gary Sanchez is going to be this type of player,
ride it out.
And he gives you one really great month a year, and he sucks for the other five. Maybe you have to deal with it. And then when he hits free agency, then maybe you look to go on a different route. But right now, I mean, what else are you going to do? You want Eric Kratz to be the starting catcher for the Yankees? You want to see if they can convince Chris Iannetta to come out of retirement? I mean, I had people. I'm not even kidding you. I saw somebody suggest that the Yankees trade Miguel Andujar and Clint Frazier to the Tigers to get Austin Romine and Matthew Boyd.
Because they need
Austin Romine.
Holy
back.
Fuck!
And Matthew Boyd is pitching to what, 8 ERA right now?
Not good.
Oh wait, that was almost as good as the trade proposal I saw the other day. Andujar and Frazier for Lance Lynn. Andujar and Frazier for Lance fucking Lynn. Because this team needs to start improving on their pitching.
Well, according
this
to MLB.com.
This team needs to start improving on their fucking pitching after they signed Garrett Cole.
Lance Lynn's a top 10 pitcher in baseball.
Holy fuck. You people are fucking dumb. Wow. I mean, come on.
So it's taking Ryan too long.
What's he trying to find?
Matthew Boyd stats.
Matthew Broderick?
It's not going to happen. Just move on.
Well, you brought up Clint Frazier, so I guess we have to segue into the second. I don't know. Is he the most hated person in Yankee Twitter or the second most hated?
Don't you think Yankee Twitter defends Frazier now? Because he's the martyr?
No.
Matthew Boyd, 9.20 ERA.
Okay.
Great. Yeah, let's trade our two biggest trade chips for this guy in a backup catcher.
Please.
Okay. And then that's the other thing. Before we move off of Sanchez, the Yankees were stupid. They were cheap because they didn't want to pay Austin Romine $4 million. The guy's a fucking backup, dude. Like, there's a reason.
We love him.
We love him, but he's a backup. Come on.
Do you know
He was never going to be supplant Gary.
My biggest two pet peeves in this world
Romine
right now.
Austin Romine could play every game for the next 20 years and he wouldn't hit 34 home runs.
My biggest two pet peeves in this world right now is when people are so irrational, they make me defend someone who I don't even like, or when they are so irrational for their love for someone that I have to discredit someone that I have a lot of respect for. Austin Romine is one of those people who I love and I have a lot of respect for, and I think he did an amazing job here. But get your head out of your ass, please.
So if Gary Sanchez is public enemy number one, I guess Giancarlo Stanton is public enemy number two.
I think Stanton could be one.
Or is he one now?
Because Stanton's one.
He wound, because you know what? And we've been big defenders of Giancarlo Stanton on this show. I'm done defending him.
Done.
I'm tired. You see? Know what? I'm sorry?
I said, see, we back up our shit. I'm done now. We've defended Stanton, but I'm done.
You cannot wind up on the fucking injured list. I'm sorry. You can't do it, bro.
No.
You can't wind up on the injured list. He kind of got a clean slate because the season didn't start on time, and nobody really thought about the fact that he probably was going to miss opening day had we started on time this year. So we forgot about that. He's on the field. He's hitting bombs. He's kind of cooled off, but he hit a big dinger yesterday. And then what happened? Advances on a wild pitch. And what happens?
Hammy.
He hurts himself.
Apparently he didn't hear a pop, so it might not be as bad as they think.
It doesn't matter.
But bro,
the dude's on the injured list.
But bro, you just said people give him a clean slate because he wouldn't have started the season. Dude, if they started the season just 3 weeks before they actually did, he probably still wouldn't have been ready. The Yankees were still questioning if he was 100% when they started 3 months late or 4 months late. So this guy is really, if they started on time, who knows how much time he would have missed, comes back for however many games, and now he's out again? Nah.
Yeah, 41 at-bats, 12 hits, three home runs, 7 RBIs, .293 batting average, and a .453 on-base percentage.
Yeah, I mean, his at-bats were overall generally better. He looked better at the plate. I mean, even if he was still striking out at a good clip, he just looked better overall. Just doing simple baseball activities, he gets hurt. Like, you shouldn't be getting hurt advancing to second base.
No, it's got to stop. I mean,
but here's where I differ. I'm not defending him anymore. You want to call the guy, you know, Glass G? Fine, he's fucking made of glass.
Yeah.
But here's my difference between everybody else. When he gets his ass back in the lineup, I want him to hit a fucking home run.
Yeah.
I want him to drive in 4 runs every game. I'm not done with him. Like, oh, I'm done with him. I hope he never plays for the Yankees again. I'm going to boo him if he comes up. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm still rooting for the guy, but I'm done defending him. If you want to call him glass and he's soft, fine. Go right ahead. I got nothing to counter that because he fucking is right now until he proves that he can stay healthy, which he hasn't done. That's the narrative on the guy.
Yeah. So, like, I think too many people right now would rather be right than sacrifice being wrong and getting results. People want him to fail because they've already written him off.
Chris,
and it's just
who's
not
probably
right.
Who's probably my least favorite Yankee? Who's the guy that you think that I if I could get rid of? And don't include Hap because he doesn't count. We'll get to him later.
All right, that you can get rid of?
If I could just get him out of here, I would get him out of here.
It's not Stanton, right? This isn't a setup.
No, it's not Stanton. No, it's not a setup.
Clint Frazier.
It's not Clint Frazier. It's Aaron Hicks.
Oh, Aaron Hicks, yeah.
I can't stand Aaron Hicks. And yesterday, in the second game of the doubleheader, he really pissed me off. The Yankees are down 4 runs, and on a ground ball double play, he decides that he's just going to take it easy.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's out. I'm not going to bother trying to break this up. And he, you know, that type of shit bothers me, man, because we saw later in the game, the next inning, Luke Voit, who statistically is the slowest player on the Yankees, still busted his ass down to second base to try to break up the double play, knowing how important every out was at that point in the game. But here's Aaron Hicks like, yeah, I'm just not going to bother here. You want to call somebody soft? That's soft to me. And what's my biggest complaint about Aaron Hicks is the fact that he takes shitty routes out in the outfield, and he's not as good of an outfielder as a lot of people think he is, which he kind of cleaned up in 2019. But what's he been back to doing this year?
Shitty. But like, if he
– But to finish my point, when Aaron Hicks is at bat, am I rooting for Aaron Hicks to strike out just so I can say, see, he sucks?
No.
No, I want Aaron Hicks to put one in the seat, rip one in the gap every time he's up. Because you know what I want to be more than I want to be right about a particular player being bad?
Happy
I want
about the a win.
To win a game. And if that player helps them win a game, I will gladly say, you know what? He played good today. The Yankees won. I'm happy. Not, oh, the fucking Aaron Hicks is the reason why they won today. I'm wrong about Aaron Hicks. I'm mad.
Look, if Hicks had fucking like ACL surgery, like a torn ACL or something, and he's back in a shortened season and he needs to take it easy, running down to first or running to second or whatnot, then you kind of just take it for what it is and you hope he doesn't, you know, aggravate it. Because you've seen a couple guys trying to think of who it was that had a leg injury and they've been taking it easy. I think it was Stanton, actually, on a couple easy ground balls. But the guy had fucking Tommy John. So you have absolutely no excuse in my mind to be lollygagging.
I'm not Dr. Go Fouch yourself, but I'm pretty sure that Tommy John surgery is not a surgery on the legs.
It could be. What is your fucking elbow, Aaron? Please.
So
wait, I have to ask. Stanton goes to the IL. So that obviously means that Clint Frazier is called up and he gets his opportunity now, right?
Well, Tyro Estrada got recalled today. And everybody on Twitter was freaking out about Frazier not getting the call up, which is baffling to me because didn't we hate, you know, Clint Frazier because he couldn't catch a fly ball? We hated him, right?
Yes.
We wanted him banished, gone, sent to the Phantom Zone.
But now he's
not exactly at the Phantom Zone, but he's at the alternate site.
Yeah.
The alternate site.
He's the Yankee martyr now.
But now he's the martyr of Yankee Twitter. It's not fair. It's not fair what the Yankees are doing to
he's
Clint.
Been so nice.
They have to treat him better. Trade him if you're not going to treat him better. Shut up. Please. Everybody hated this guy. And now he's getting mistreated. And the Yankees they're mean. They're so mean.
Look, to an extent, you feel for the guy that it just seems like he's never going to get his opportunity. But we have to hold people accountable who should be held accountable. Clint Frazier is accountable for anything that happens to him at this point after the way he acted. And we don't know what happens behind closed doors either. We don't know if we got the full story of him being as bad as it was.
But here, logically and logistically, the Yankees were playing one more game in Tampa. Tyro Estrada's already there. Got sent down after game one, so he didn't leave Tampa. He's there. They said he was still there as part of the taxi squad. Why are you going to fly Frazier, especially in the COVID era, why are you going to fly Frazier down to Tampa for one game when you're coming back home for 2 weeks? If you really want Clint Frazier on the team, why would you do that?
Right.
Does it make any sense whatsoever?
No, and we should have brought this up in the beginning, so I'll bring it up real quick. We forgot to talk about this. MLB did extend the 28-man roster for the entire season. 29 for doubleheaders, I believe, but that is no longer going to be tapered off throughout the season.
All right. So you have that. Then you also have to look at it like, everybody loves Mike Talkman now, right? Mikey T,
step it up.
The best Mike T in baseball, I heard, right? The best Definitely. Mike T in baseball.
Right? Did Dr. Go Fouch say it? I think he did.
So now, with Giancarlo Stanton out, you know, maybe you give Judgey a couple of days at DH. You know, that finds Talkman in the outfield a little bit more. You know, there's ways to work that. You know, that also makes sense. Everybody loves Mike Ford. Now you can play Ford and Voit every day because one can DH, one can play first base. And if you keep Estrada around, now you have the extra infielder for in case of an emergency situation when you switch DJ over to first base late in the game. Mm-hmm. So, instead of just, they're not being fair to Clint. They're not being fair to Clint. Think about it. Just sit. It took me 3 seconds to sit there and think about and sit there and think about all that. And how it makes a lot of sense why Clint Frazier isn't on the team because they really don't need another outfielder.
So do you think? So is the point you're getting at that not only was Tyro Estrada called up because he was in Tampa, but you think he'll stay up?
I don't know if he'll stay up, but I'm just saying if that is the long term solution, doesn't it still make sense?
Oh yeah, absolutely. But do you think that come Tuesday, there's a possibility that Clint does get the call? Because actually, I still don't think it would be him.
I have a tweet from Marley Rivera of ESPN. If you give me a second to look it up, somebody sent it to me.
She tweeted it. I retweeted it.
Don't forget, Tyler Wade can play the outfield too.
Tyler Wade can do anything. Can he pitch?
Probably.
He pitches Ryan's 10.
That was good. There's only one man that Ryan doesn't need a blue chew for, and that's Tyler Wade.
A blue choo-choo. All right, here it is.
It's interesting, choo-choo, and you're still looking. I got to say, Troy had a good game the other day, by the way.
He's good.
He's good. What's his first name? G-Man Troy.
Another former Yankee.
Here we go.
Couple dubs.
This is from Marley Rivera of ESPN before the game today. And this is – actually, let me bring up – we have to go to the website here to get the full quote.
Here we go.
Boone said the Yankees opted to bring up Estrada instead of Andujar because they didn't necessarily want to start the option clock over again with Miggy. Sounded like Andujar will probably be brought up tomorrow, really Tuesday, because they're off on Monday. We'll be in a position to potentially do that heading into Monday.
Well, they pick up what, an extra year of service time?
Yeah, but notice how Clint Frazier's name never came up.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, but... look, if you have a DH spot opened up now, fuck. I mean, Andujar, get him some at-bats, and without the liability of him being in the field, fuck it. Right? If Miggy gets hot enough and sees enough pitches, we know what he's capable of, too.
Yeah, Andujar was sent down earlier in the week, and it was the right move. I think he was like 1-for-14 on the year. He really hasn't hit the ball with any authority. And, you know, in fairness to him, it's sporadic playing time. They got him out in left field trying to learn how to be a left fielder. So, you know, it was the right thing to do, but it sounds like he's going to be the move and not Clint Frazier. So, again, before we move on, simple yes or no question. Is Clint Frazier's future in Major League Baseball as a New York Yankee?
I definitely say no, but I'm not just going to say that. I have to also just add this to the point here that you said it just 20 seconds ago. We already had an overcrowded outfield. If Stanton went down and we really didn't have any outfield depth and he didn't get called up then, I'd say you can point this directly to they just want nothing to do with him. I still think it's close to that. But when you have a guy like Miggy who you really want up here and to do damage, if that's the move, I can't say it's just because they don't like Clint Frazier or that he's not. I still don't think he has a future here. I don't know if he has a future anywhere, but definitely not here.
I think he has a future, and I think it benefits the Yankees to hold on to him just in case they can use him, in case a Talkman, a Gardner goes down, Judge. Then they could use him, but for now, they benefit from waiting until that collective bargaining agreement expires and they rule that there will be a universal DH, because that doubles the potential trading components.
Partners, absolutely.
So they benefit from holding Miguel Andujar and holding Clint Frazier, who are defensive liabilities for the next couple of years. Because the universal DH is coming. It's not until this collective bargaining agreement's done, and then that opens the pool to 29 other teams instead of just 14.
That's a fucking great point. Eh. It really is. I mean, it ups his value.
That was like blue chew for the brain, yeah. Right there.
It ups his value so much.
When I was in the bathroom today. Just came to me. That's where I get my good thinking in. Mm.
But, all right, so we'll move along here now. Recap the week here. We recorded Sunday afternoon last week because the Yankees were on Sunday Night Baseball. They won that game. Judge with a big home run. You know, you're feeling good. Then we move on to Philadelphia. Yankees win again. And then the tropical storm hits. Mm-hmm. And it kind of washed away all the Yankees' good feelings, because they've won two games since then and lost many. And one, two, three, four, five. They're 2-5 in their last seven since the tropical storm. So whatever, you know, that storm, you know, really wreaked havoc in this area with knocking out a lot of power. And it seemed to knock out the Yankees' power too, because then they canceled the game Tuesday, even though after the storm passed, it looked like they probably could have played, but it ended up being nice out.
But they canceled it on Monday. already. Yeah, like, it was a scheduled Monday
for Tuesday, and then it ended up looking like they could end up playing because, you know, later in the afternoon it would be coming sunny and nice out. Then we move on to Wednesday here. Yankees split the doubleheader. They lose the game one, win game two. Thoughts on the seven-inning doubleheader? If your answer is anything but I fucking hate it, I don't care to talk to you ever again.
The only time I ever want to watch a seven-inning baseball game is if I'm watching the Little League World Series. It is so fucking – it is actually embarrassing. Now, I get it, right? I think that it makes sense, and I don't want to justify it because it's so bad. It makes sense if you're going to do it in any season to be this season because there's going to be so many doubleheaders this year. And, you know, whatever. But it is so embarrassing that a professional sport has altered the time of the game by reducing innings. That's like football coming back and having...
The same way, yeah, playing, we're going to play 12 minutes, yeah, a quarter. Right.
Now, is the reasoning for that because they're going to do it a lot, or is it because of player safety? So they don't have to play two nine-inning games.
Ryan, you know COVID only comes out after the eighth inning.
Right.
You know that, right?
I mean, because it's not too smart player safety to have a doubleheader in a dome, if that's the reasoning.
I think they said their initial reasoning was they don't want the players spending that much time at the ballpark.
Yeah.
See, that's stupid to me then. I thought it was because there's going to be, they anticipated many doubleheaders.
And then that's where they kind of... They flipped it and they said, well, there's going to be so many that we have to do seven inning doubleheaders. I mean, the Yankees play two doubleheaders this week, and I'm sure they're going to end up having to play more because
it's games.
I think they have to make up games with the Orioles, right?
Yeah, they do. They do.
Yeah, they're making that up on September 4th. I don't know if it's a doubleheader, but that's where it's
scheduled. let me ask this question, and I think it's really.
Yeah, it is a doubleheader, Ryan.
This is what's really fucking stupid to me.
Okay.
If you do the ratio. Right, where a pitcher has to throw five innings to secure a win in a nine-inning game.
Glad you brought this up.
If you do the ratio, it really goes down to four innings. Actually, a little bit less. I think 3.2. But it really goes down to four innings to complete four innings in a seven-inning game to get a win. If you're going to alter the fucking game, you better alter that kind of shit, too.
Why?
Right?
Because you want to get Gerrit Cole.
Yeah, listen, it could be anyone, though. I'm just saying in general, why doesn't that change? We're changing the game completely by lowering the innings. Well, then standards for the... Because, look, we all know Gerrit Cole went out there yesterday and said, okay, I can either give decent stuff over seven innings possibly and be efficient, or I can be fucking filthy for four or five innings.
107 pitches.
And then my bullpen only needs to throw a couple innings and secure the win, which is what you saw. You saw him tire out a little earlier or be less efficient throughout the game than he has been, even though his stuff looked by far the best. The other day.
We're sharp.
All right, we're not there yet.
I'm just saying in general, you're going to change the game. You got to think about those things too.
Agreed. All right.
So I'm not enjoying seven inning doubleheaders. If we have to deal with it this year, we have to deal with it this year. But I'm hearing people on like Don LaGreca and Ken Davidoff. They're advocating for this to be Major League Baseball, period, going for every game, seven innings.
Listen,
no.
I'm setting myself up for this with you because you like to fucking trigger me and say I'm into conspiracies and shit. But this is a conspiracy that I truly believe that that the commissioner is testing out this year, he has every big broadcaster advocating for it, regardless of what they truly feel. Listen around the league. Every single one of them is saying they love the seven-inning doubleheader.
Well, Paul O'Neill said, and he said, listen, he goes, I'm not for it. We have to do it this year. I'm okay with it this year, but I don't want it going forward, which is how I am too. I don't like it. If we got to do it to get baseball in this year, then fine. I'll live with it.
You know,
but this
Paul O'Neill's also the guy who told Roger Clemens to go fuck himself when he wanted the number 21.
Big head Michael K. zinger in today. It was really good. But, I like that conspiracy because earlier when they announced that there might be the pick'em for the playoffs where the one...
That was another thing, too.
Everyone was on board for that.
And everyone's on board with the extra... teams, they're like, I love this. This makes the game more interesting.
I like
that. No, it doesn't.
Conspiracy Chris.
That's it. CC.
And then CC. What do we have here? Yeah. Forget it. But game one, Yankees take a 3-0 lead, and then guess what happens? J-Hap happens.
Guess what happens?
He happened. He walked 6 men, allowed 4 earned runs, and after 3 innings. And you know, this is, you know, this loss got blamed on Boone in some parts of social media.
Of course.
Because Aaron Boone should have known his pitcher, and then after the first inning, he should have pulled Hap, because Hap didn't allow a run until the 3rd inning.
100%.
So he should have known better,
right,
and got him out of there after the first.
Right, because any good manager will do anything it takes to take his starter out after 1 inning. Any good manager.
When you're playing 2 doubleheaders in 1 week.
Any good manager would do that. Right.
Can we please, and this might go against everything that I said, can we please get J-Hap off this team?
Yeah, I mean, I give him one more start. Seriously, one more.
Everybody has seemed to turn a corner so far. Montgomery had a little bit of dip in his last start. He got roughed up a little bit. But, you know, Tanaka had a good start. Paxton had a good start. Cole's pitching well. You want to give him one more start?
One more. Fine. But
if he goes out there and shits the fucking bed again.
Yeah, it's done. I just wanted to bring up my tweet real quick because I think it's pretty because we can say all we want about Hap, but my number one thing with him, especially when he came over here and I started looking into his career, he's always been pretty consistent. Like, he's never been an elite starting pitcher, but he's always been consistently good throughout his career, right? The other day when he only threw four innings with another 4 earned runs, it was the first time in his career he did it in back-to-back scheduled starts. And I put a note, he did it in 2013, but it was 3 months apart because he had an injury. Mm-hmm. It was the first time that he's done that in his career. And he's been in the league for 14 years or 14 seasons. So that is a big red flag for me that this isn't just a guy who's struggling anymore. We saw the decline last year, and he's doing things so poorly that he's never done in his entire 14 seasons.
Wasn't there some sort of walk statistic he had there? What, he had 3 innings, six walks. It was something.
Yeah, it was something with the 6 walks.
He walked 6 batters in his last start. If you want to give up 10 home runs, fine. Give up 10 home runs. You can't walk 6 guys. You can't do it.
I said it. You want to get beat on a who was it who walked the bases loaded run in the other day? I said a million times I would rather see a grand slam and let them beat you than you beat yourself. And you fucking walked in.
Michael King started game 2 yesterday and he was a little all over the place.
Yeah.
But you know what? I like his stuff. He's got a much bigger upside. I'd rather deal with Michael King's growing pains than Hap. Seriously.
I'd rather see I want to see Schmidt get a start here. I think
he's got to hit the 40 man first.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying eventually I want to see him up here. I want to see what he has in a big league game, because my number one thing I said about him after that brief outing he had in the summer camp games was it wasn't just how good his stuff was. I loved his composure.
Yeah.
And yeah, you that's can say it was York. A scrimmage, but that's not the case. I mean, this guy knows he's going out there to prove himself, and he was very composed, and he looked really good. I want to see what kind of stuff he has. If there's nothing to lose at this point with Hap going out there every single time and doing what he's doing, I want to see what Clark Schmidt has.
Chris Iannetta retired earlier today. He was a part of the 40-man, and now spots open for Clark Schmidt to take. So we'll see.
So,
I liked Albert Abreu, too. He looked nice.
Mm. Yeah, but I think we saw why he's kind of dipped in the pecking order amongst prospects.
Sure,
he's kind of has no control whatsoever.
Oh, yeah.
Good
stuff, though.
Yeah, he's got good stuff. He can't throw strikes, which...
Yeah, right.
That's the Yankee prospect bugaboo.
Yeah.
Right? Is the control.
Bugaboo.
But, you know, Yanks put that doubleheader, and then they go for the series win, I guess, or the split on... Thursday, which they didn't get. They lost 5-4. That was Montgomery's start. He got roughed up a little bit, but I don't know. I'm not really too worried about Monty. Well, he is coming back from TJ, so we'll give him another throw out there unless Chris wants to murder him.
I like Montgomery.
That's that leg injury, just right? Not, TJ?
It's in the knee, actually. No, I like Monty. I'm just not as high as him on him as you guys are just yet.
And don't forget David Hale. He pitched 2 1/3 in that game. He's got a 1.59 earned run average this year.
Yeah, he's looked good.
And then we'll move along here to Friday. They start the series with the Rays. Might be the most encouraging 1-0 loss I've seen for the Yankees, because Masahiro Tanaka looked as good as I ever seen him look in that game.
I got to say, and I know it's early and we've only seen him a few times, and even at a couple times, and even at that, we've seen a limited Masahiro Tanaka. But I have a feeling that if one guy is going to benefit from Matt Blake and what he brings to the table, it's going to be Masahiro Tanaka, because I see a completely different pitcher out there.
Yeah,
I really do.
It was another start where his fastball looked just a little bit faster, and I think it has to do with how he's spotting it.
Blake switched up his mechanics a little bit, too, they said. I really think that he's going to benefit the most from this guy. I think he's going to really turn him into the guy that we've been expecting.
So Tanaka went 5 innings, 1 hit, no walks, 5 Ks, also no runs allowed. He gave him 59 pitches after giving him 51 the previous start. I thought they were going to maybe push him a little bit more, but Boone said that was enough for him. So you like to see him maybe go a little bit deeper into the game next time, maybe he can give you 6, especially if he keeps his pitch count down. But he looked fantastic, man.
Phenomenal.
I think that's exactly what you needed to see for somebody to get behind Gerrit Cole and really say, I'm the number 2 guy in the staff. And Tanaka, he looked a part of it. Now, there's one big takeaway from this game and the Rays series as a whole, except for the game that the Yankees won on Saturday, is they couldn't hit. For whatever reason, they couldn't hit. And a lot of the times you'll say, hey, you want to tip your cap to the Rays pitching staff? Fine. But I'm not going to do that.
No.
The Yankees had a lot of fucking hanging breaking balls that they missed. They had a lot of fastballs that were right down the middle that they swung through. Honestly, and you don't want to take anything away from the Rays, but fuck them, because they're chirpy little bitches. And really, I'm sick and tired of their fucking act, and Blake Snell in particular. Which, like,
yeah, he's a scumbag.
We like to beat the Yankees.
Yeah.
We party hard when we beat them.
Fuck you.
Fucking jerk off. Exactly.
Wait, the Rays tried to lose this game today, right? First of all, bad break for them. Today, Morton got hurt today,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he got pulled.
Charlie Morton, you don't want to see
it's
it.
A shoulder.
He's hurt, right? But on top of that, the Yankees, they only scored 3 runs today.
Yeah.
All gifts.
Yeah, all gifts. I mean, who was the outfielder? Should have caught that ball. He drops it. Yeah. John Sterling had a friggin' he just went nuts. And the Yankees scored the runs. And then they just gave it right back.
But, yeah, so what were we saying here? Because Tanaka, right? So I'm feeling really encouraged about Masahiro Tanaka right now. But, again, the Yankees' bats in this game and for most of the series, I don't know what it was. They just could not seem to square something up that even 3-4 days ago they were lining, you know, 110-mile-an-hour beams and hitting them into the seats. I just don't know what it was. Is this place that much in their heads right now?
It seemed like the strategy for Ray's pitching was the breaking ball. Just constantly go to the breaking ball. Because I think Chaz Rowe at one point ended the game 17 straight sliders.
Yeah, and a lot of them sucked.
A lot of them sucked.
Yeah.
To big hitters, too. Stanton and Torres in particular.
So they lose 1-0. You know, everybody wanted to blame Gary because wild pitch.
Talkman, too, with the base running blunder second, trying to advance to third.
Yeah, that was, you
with
know.
No
but
outs.
But he's the internet darling, so we can't make fun of him.
True, I shouldn't have brought that up.
All right, so Yankees win 8-4 game 1. That was Cole's start, which I'm going to blow my fucking stack about in 1 minute. But that was the only game this series, the Yankees hit. They hit 3 home runs. Stan Judge and who was the other one? Who's the other guy to hit
Boyd?
One, Ryan? No, Boyd didn't go.
I'll pull it up.
Judge, Stanton, and
Ford.
Yeah, Ford hit a bomb.
Bomb, bomb, bomb. 436 feet, I think.
Yeah, bomb.
What can we break this down real quick?
Sure.
Can we break this down real quick? What would you say everybody's been bitching and complaining about since we started this podcast? We don't have an ace. Brian Cashman doesn't go out there and get aces. He can't acquire the big pitcher, right?
Right.
The Yankees are cheap. They don't want to spend the money on Patrick Corbin, right? Wasn't that part of the narrative too?
Right.
No, Zach Greinke. Yankees didn't want to go get Zach Greinke. Meanwhile, he would have never fucking came here, but we had to deal with that shit.
Right.
And what did Brian Cashman and the Yankees go out and do in the offseason?
Got the white whale.
Spell it out for stupid people. What did they go out there and do in the offseason?
They signed Garrett Cole this offseason.
They signed Garrett Cole.
Runner-up Cy Young. Hasn't lost in like 3 years.
Who is arguably top three best pitchers in all of baseball.
Yeah, it's not a doubt in my mind.
Legitimate ace.
Legitimate. It's not. It's the most legitimate ace
you could get.
The most legitimate ace in our lifetime.
Not cheap. Gave him $324 million.
Not cheap.
I think he
not
could be the, considered the best pitcher since Whitey Ford. Eventually, when this is all said and done,
that's a big statement, but I like it.
At worst, is he the third best pitcher in Major League Baseball?
At absolute worst.
Had the best stuff we've seen him have in a Yankee uniform on Saturday.
Yes.
Right. What did he strike out? 10 guys.
Something yeah. Like that, yes, yeah. It was 10.
Ran. Look, he pitched. Yeah. He pitched his fucking balls off on Saturday. I'm sorry. He did. He absolutely did. He ran out of gas. And if you want to say that an ace should go longer than five innings, go fuck yourself, because this is the weirdest season we've ever been a part of. And Garrett Cole went out there and dominated for the first four innings. And he threw too many pitches and he ran out of gas a little bit. But you know what? Every game he's gone out there, he's brought better stuff to the mound that he did the game before. And when he puts it all together, our jaws are going to be on the fucking floor. And instead of saying out there and saying Garrett was dominant today, he ran out of gas, it's a weird season, doubleheader, blah, blah, blah. No. We have to hear tweets from people saying, oh, looks like we got the Pittsburgh Garrett Cole.
Yes.
Looks like we got the Pittsburgh Garrett Cole.
Yes.
And here might be my favorite one. Could you imagine how bad Garrett Cole would be if Larry was still here?
Ooh. Terrible. Can I just make 2 points about his start on Saturday? Yes. Touched on it before a little bit. First thing, you're playing seven innings, right? So I started saying this before in the last segment. A guy like Cole goes out there and he game plans. This is seven innings. So an ace's job is to eat up as many innings as you can and hand the ball off to your best guys with the least amount of innings left in the game. So at this point, you have Garrett Cole who says, fuck it. I'm going all out right now. I'm gonna get creative. I'm going to be cute on some at-bats because I'm not going to get beat today. That's why you saw a little less efficiency from him, and he was higher up in pitch count, and he emptied the tank. Now they wanted to leave him out there to get the win. I get that. And he's the type of guy who you're not really at risk for injury at that point. The guy's a workhorse, right?
Okay, but here...
But hold on, I just want to say one more thing.
You're mediocre like your playing career.
He's a starter.
Rest in peace.
Okay? So, I just want to say this, and we can touch on it after we get to any more Cole points. You've seen this now across the board with even the best starts of every Yankee so far, that they hit this wall. They've hit a wall, regardless of how great they've been. And I think that really pertains to where I was wrong in saying that though they didn't really have a spring training or an extended summer camp type, that these pitchers should be ready and should be stretched out. They're not. They're not right now. You've seen it. You've seen guys tire, even if they're being efficient like today in Paxton, and have Paxton had some of the best stuff we've seen him have since he's been a Yankee, but he hit that wall. And every pitcher has been doing it outside of Masahiro Tanaka, because he was just that filthy. And I think that's something to look out for, too.
We've waited so long to get an ace, a legitimate number one, top of the line, rotation, drop your balls on the mound, know you're going to win that day pitcher.
Absolutely.
And after his third fucking start, this fan base has already got shit to say about him because he pitched 4 2/3 innings.
Yeah, I'm so sick of this fucking fan base. I really am. I'm sorry.
Seriously, honestly, I really, if I didn't have so much fun interacting with certain people and know that there are actually legitimately good fans out there that are fun to talk to and respect and have good debates and opinions with, I really wanted to quit Twitter today. I'm so sick and fucking tired.
I don't go on. I only tweet. I don't look at anything anymore.
Dude, we finally have an ace and you guys are so fucking pig-headed. that you don't even appreciate it. After three fucking starts, you're ready to run the guy out of town because he didn't finish five innings. Like Chris said, these guys are not built up yet. You can only expect so much. There has been no spring training. They were off from March until July, and they had 3 weeks to go where they basically were scrimmaging each other. It's not the same thing. And then you're throwing these guys into immediately into competitive games that count, and you want to see you want to see them go eight innings, allow two hits, and strike out 15. It's not going to happen. It might not happen for another 2 or 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. It's just a natural progression of things. But immediately we have to go to Twitter and bash Gerrit Cole. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, and don't forget the Yankees were on a 3-game losing streak before that game too. So what does he do as an ace? He puts the team on his back, and yeah, he didn't give them a lot of innings, but he gave them enough where he was able to hand the ball off to their two best available options in Chad Green and Adam Ottavino. So
if you can't appreciate Gerrit Cole for what he's done so far, then you're just never going to appreciate anybody that this team brings in. No. And you should just honestly find something else to do with your time.
Go be a Mets
fan. Honestly.
Because you're miserable.
They're miserable. You know who really hates that Larry Rothschild's not on the staff anymore? Aaron Boone. Because everything now, it used to be like if it were pitching flaws, at least, you know, guys, it would be Larry's fault. Now everything is Boone's fault. Everything from top to bottom.
All right. So let's move on to that, right? You know, seriously, I'm just sick and tired of it. You know, if you can't appreciate Gerrit Cole and I at least give him an ace in five starts where he hasn't lost three, he hasn't lost any.
And listen, our fan base is the Yankee fan base. So we hate sitting here and saying this shit because, you know, we're not talking to every Yankee fan, but we're talking to the select loud few that are just complete fucking idiots. I'm sorry. We're going to call you out for what it is, and you can call us idiots back. I don't give a fuck. But that's the type of relationship that we have with you, and we're going to be honest. You sound like fucking morons. You sound like fucking spoiled crybabies who just can't appreciate anything anymore.
And it just doesn't help. There's no reward for it. Criticize other teams. Get to their head. Root against them. Don't root against the team that you supposedly root for.
So we got Gerrit Cole, you know, get the win, game one, Yankees lose game two. Everybody thought Judge hit that one out at the end of the game, but Judge knew he didn't get it all.
Yeah, I heard that.
You saw his reaction as soon as he hit it. He knew he didn't get it all. He gave it a ride. Yankees lose that game. That was the game we referenced earlier where Hicks decided he was going to stroll the second base and not try to break up the double play, which good job, Aaron Hicks. And then today, You like you said, there's no scapegoat for Boone anymore. So Larry's gone, so now everything is Boone's fault. James Paxton, the fastball was up a little bit today. It was sitting at like just under 93, which was better than
he hit 94 sometimes.
So he was better, but really good stuff today through six innings. He ran up against it there in the seventh. The Yankees didn't hit at all today. They had their three-run score on a hit-by-pitch with the bases loaded and a two-run error. So they didn't do anything offensively. 0-for-8 were runners in scoring position. So you want to blame anybody for this loss today. Blame Boone. The offense.
Blame Boone. It's just blame easier. Boone, right? It's easier. Think about it. You don't have to think. Right, you don't have to take the time to really break down the game in your head and tire yourself out by thinking critically and seeing where the flaws were. It's just easy to just say it's Boone's fault. Let's just make life easier.
Can I give a positive for Boone?
Yes.
His nephew was actually drafted by the Washington Nationals, Jacob Boone. Remember Brett Boone in our interview with him was talking about him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Brett Boone's son. If he makes the major leagues, he will be the fourth generation Boone.
First time ever.
And Major League Baseball, Booner for the Boones.
Booner for the Boones.
That's pretty wild. Four generations of baseball players.
So that would be a great Jacob Boone. Mockumentary about like a conspiracy like that, where MLB has a Booner for Boones. What if I told you that Manfred was put in place years ago
by a syndicate
just to recruit the fourth generation Boone?
There's something about these Booners.
I got a Booner for here's a hot mic. He didn't know he was on a hot mic. I got a Booner for Boone.
Okay, so here we go. Right, we hit the seventh inning. Paxton's cruising along here. 6 scoreless. Yankees are up 3-0.
Unhittable.
And then what happens? And this is such a bugaboo for me. You should not be giving a batter a pitch that he can hit out of the ballpark when you're up 0-2. You can't make a mistake like that on 0-2.
100%.
Biggest pet peeve in base.
And he serves up a 2-run home run to, who was that, Brousseau hit that with on the 0-2 pitch?
Is he French? Right?
He might be.
Brousseau.
Yeah, it was their first baseman, 0-2 pitch. I mean, when I saw that, I was like, dude, come on. But you know what? He pitched really well up until that point. And then here is where Yankee Twitter decided that Aaron Boone lost the game for the Yankees. He didn't go and get James Paxton. Mm. But if you had ever paid attention once, just one time, to know that a left-handed batter was coming up, he's not going to get James Paxton to bring in fucking Jonathan Holder. He's not doing it. He's going to let James Paxton pitch to the fucking lefty. And what happens? Lau hits a home run. Game's tied. So naturally, it's Aaron Boone's fault.
Here's what pisses me off. I guess it's throughout any fan base. I'm not just going to say Yankee fan base. You take things out of context so poorly. I mean, it's embarrassing. Look at the context. Was Paxton getting rocked? And where he still wasn't the best guy to have out there at the time? No, he made one bad pitch.
If he had been facing a right-handed hitter, I can understand the argument. But lefty, no. There's no argument
you
there.
Can only
Not for Jonathan Holder, bro.
You can only understand it, though, because he hasn't had a lot of starts where he's built up his arm, correct?
Yes.
If this was mid-season, Paxton being Paxton, and he's that efficient and that solid all year, you're not pulling him just because a guy hit a 2-run home run at that point when you just had a doubleheader yesterday. Yeah. I mean...
Now, the only criticism there is that he's looked very shaky in his first couple of starts, and he was up to 87 pitches, I think he finished with, so maybe you should have just taken what he gave you at that point, but... When you just played a doubleheader the day before and you most likely only have Holder and Britton because you don't necessarily want to use Green or Ottavino, then...
If you're telling me Jonathan Holder...
Too, like Christian said.
Whether it's a lefty or a righty, I don't even care. If you're telling me Jonathan Holder is a better option at that point, then you just haven't been paying attention over the last couple of years.
In this game, I mean, he had 11 strikeouts in this game, James Paxton.
Remember, Jonathan Holder was so fucking bad last year that he got sent down and we never thought we were going to see him again.
But irregardless of the 2 home runs he gave up in the 7th inning, this was a very encouraging start for James Paxton.
Absolutely.
Even without his best fastball, he went out there and he was really dominant through 6 innings.
Yeah, I liked how he changes speeds, man. If you're not going to have that fastball, then you have to rely on your change of speeds because he was throwing 92, 93 consistently. And his breaking ball was clocking at sometimes it was like 81 to 83 miles per hour. That's a huge difference.
But Christian, you said to hold off on this until now. You know, I'm not that upset about these shitty games where they've lost because, if anything, I wanted to see the pitching turn a corner, and they definitely did. I mean, across the board.
Yeah, I would have liked to win one more.
Today. I want to win all of them. But what I'm saying is I'm not gonna walk away from this past weekend and say it was a complete failure. We saw a lot of promise out of guys.
No, you can't. All right, you want
to use dude, it, this but is it was glorified spring training. We've said it.
Yeah, but. You also said that, will you ever get emotional about this like a regular season? Yeah, today I was. This was the first time I really got angry and pissed about a loss today.
Did you see James Paxton coming off the mound today? He just stared down in the Rays
because
dugout.
They were talking shit to him.
Yeah, yeah.
They were talking shit to him.
They're a bunch of fucking
yeah, because they were throwing in. They were throwing in yesterday, and then he started out the game throwing a little bit inside.
Look. Honestly, I thought Boone and the Yankees were being a little sensitive Saturday night with the complaining about the pitching in. But fuck the Rays. Seriously. Yeah,
not a fan.
And bring CeCe. Sign him up for a one-game contract when they come to the Bronx.
Yeah, they should have made him the extra man for the doubleheader.
We're gonna give him a bunch of Billy Crystal contracts this year. Just one day, whenever we need to fucking drill someone right in the head. I don't know if CC can reach a plate anymore after his first pitch he threw out.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Just throw the pitch and charge
the plate.
Charge the plate.
Charge the fucking plate. Don't even wait for him to get to you.
I really think they supplanted. I definitely the Red Sox are not my most hated team anymore. And I think they definitely supplanted the Astros as my most hated team right now.
Really?
Well, we play the Rays.
Rays over the Astros?
Because they're a bunch of punks too. Because they're you guys saw the video of what's his name? The
Ramon Laureano.
Laureano, he was being challenged to a fight by the fucking bench coach or the first base coach of the Astros today, and a brawl broke out. I mean, yeah, social distancing protocols out the window.
Yeah,
asshole. He's gonna get suspended.
Come on,
for Carlos Correa. Games, I bet
Carlos Correa. Like, that's all you need to think about in your head to know that
Alex Bregman,
that they're your most hated team.
Reading quickly, two A's got thrown out of the game today. Exactly zero Astros got thrown out of the game.
Let me tell you something. The first thing I said to myself when that fucking fight broke out was, they're going to continue to protect them. It is a fucking joke. A joke.
Yeah, you're going to see a heavy suspension for Laureano.
Don't you see the hostility teams and players have against this team? For a fucking reason, Manfred, you jerk off.
What was Kelly's suspension?
Eight.
No, there's more hostility because of Manfred protecting them. I'm not saying today was in-game Manfred.
No, but Laureano was hit by the pitch. He was hit.
Right.
And then the Astros bench was jaw-jacking him. And then the coach was challenging him to a fight.
Yeah, and then he hides behind the players. Then he hides behind the players when he starts charging them.
Yeah, and Bregman tackled them.
Do not instigate fights. They said this is the one thing they say. Social distancing protocols do not instigate fights. What is this asshole out there doing? Instigating a fight. If he doesn't get fucking suspended for that, you know there's something going on.
So
you know there is. So
the A's player gets hit, gets instigated, he's ejected.
Yes.
Phenomenal. Great job, Major League Baseball. Seriously, great job.
Hopefully the Yankees will do a great job as they head home now. They're off on Monday, and then 12 of their next 12 games are all in New York. They have a 9-game homestand, and then their final three games are against the Mets in Citi Field. So they're going to be sleeping in their beds for a long time. Hopefully they get it right. I just want to see this team go back out and dominate again.
Yeah.
I'm not overly worried. I mean, I know some fans are jumping off the ledge now. I'm not overly worried. They're still on pace to win 40 fucking games this year, even with this bad week.
How could you be on? So there's fans out there that are saying they suck now. Like, is that?
Well, if they think Gerrit Cole sucks.
You're right. All right. Got to rationalize.
And these are my least favorite shows is when we have to come out here and take shots at the fan base, because it doesn't benefit anybody. It doesn't benefit us to make us sound like the miserable pricks that have to take shots at the fans. It doesn't benefit the fans to sit there and take shots at their players, and then we feel the need to react to it. I don't like doing these types of shows. So I want to see I just need the Yankees to get back to playing where everybody's got a fucking hard on for this team again.
Maybe they need a blue.
Maybe we need Blue Chew. Chris, you were supposed to work on that.
I know. They're using me as a guinea pig right now.
Oh, yeah?
Trials.
Do you need to go and take care of that?
No, I'm used to it now. It's just something I live with.
All right. So Yankees are off on Monday before they play a pair against the Braves, which is not going to be easy because the Braves are a pretty solid team themselves. Although Mike Soroka is done for the year. He ruptures his Achilles the other day. So that's a tough blow. They're off Thursday before they welcome the Boston in for four, which is these weird wraparound series they're having this year, Friday to Monday, before we get a little bit of fucking revenge against these scumbag Rays. But we'll talk about that next week. So the next guaranteed show will be Sunday afternoon because the Yankees will be playing Sunday night baseball again against the Red Sox. So we'll do a Sunday afternoon show, if that's okay with Chris.
Yes.
Okay. So we'll be back. We'll definitely be back Sunday afternoon. I can't guarantee we'll be here Thursday. Unless something major happens. I don't really see the need to. Unless somebody dies. Like Horace Clark, who was a mediocre player.
Oh, man, Francesa.
Remember, wait a second. Okay. Now you take me out of context. Okay. I wasn't talking about him as a human being. I was talking about him as a baseball player.
Talk about a disrespectful, backhanded compliment.
There was no compliment there whatsoever.
His tweet was basically,
he sucked, but rest in peace.
Yeah, his tweet was basically, Horace Clark was the epitome of the post-Mantle Yankees, mediocre ball player on a mediocre team. And then he, at the end, he goes, rest in peace.
Horace Clark never did an interview with me.
I mean, talk about.
Oh, I even, man. I said it. I
not
even
read in the why, room, dude.
Why even add the rest in peace? You fuck. You
how's he going to rest in peace, dude?
You buried this guy worse than the fucking Paul.
You know, like when your parents tell you, like, if you have nothing good to say, just say nothing at all.
Yeah.
Like, what? That was a perfect example of that tweet just was not necessary in any way other than okay. us to be able to talk about it.
Okay, this guy sucked at baseball. Okay, but he's dead, so rest in peace.
Rest in peace. I feel bad for the family.
About him.
Oh, my God.
Man. Classic so, Mike.
You know, rough week for the Yankees, but they're coming home. So after – there you go, Ryan. Rough week for the Yankees, but as I said, they're coming home. So hopefully they'll get things right after a day off. Here we go, you know.
That's it.
I don't even know what to say. My kid's screaming. My dog's sleeping. So at least we got one down, one to go, right? Yeah. What do I usually do here? Oh, yes. Follow us on Twitter at NYY Sports Talk. Hopefully Chris will have some good news for me tomorrow so we can have some good news for you. I'm really excited about some that I've been working on, but Chris has got to give me the go-ahead on it first. So we'll just tease it a little bit, and then if we have some news to break, we'll break it on Twitter at NYY Sports Talk. So definitely follow us there. Thank you for listening to episode 188 of the podcast. We appreciate your support, even though we think a lot of you are dumb.
Even though we just ripped your fucking life apart, we appreciate you.
Stop with the criticism. So it's too much.
Everybody that listens to this show, we appreciate your support, even if your opinions are trash. Okay.
Can I just say something before you close out? Here's how much I appreciate you. I had someone directly comment on my Twitter the other day after I said something. He goes, "Wow. An actual good statement out of you." And I was like, okay, is this just like a hobby of yours? You go on people's Twitter with out of context and just whatever. He goes, "No, I've been listening to your show for 2 straight years and I hate everything you say." I was like, well, you know what? I appreciate okay. you listening you despite listen hating me. Thank you so much.
There's something right there.
And man. I got to stick up for my boy Ryan, who Gloria poked the bear today after the Yankees lost. Gloria, you can't be doing that.
He was fucking mad. If he wasn't filming himself, I don't know what he would have done, but his eyes got glossed over.
They told the story.
They glossed over, and then the camera cuts out immediately, and then that's it.
Don't poke the bear, not after the
loss. Don't poke the bear.
Like that. All right, thank you for listening to episode 188 of the NYY Sports Talk podcast. Please follow us on Twitter at NYY Sports Talk. Stat Guy Rye.
Go Yanks.
Chris, say goodbye.
Peace.